All right. Well, I'm excited about this week. I'm glad that you are here for it. We're in week two of Jonah. 2 weeks ago, we started it. Remember, we looked at chapter one and talked about what saying yes to God looked like. And remember, even though running is sometimes easier, saying yes is always best because we saw what happened to Jonah when he turned his back on God. And just like Jonah, though, we don't always say yes. So then the question today is, when we fail, when we mess up, when we blow it, what do we do? What do we do when we don't say yes and we realize it? So have you ever been on one of those moving walkways, those moving sidewalks? It's like a flat escalator, basically. So you've seen it. It looks like this, you know, in an airport or whatever. How lazy have we become that we need a flat moving walkway when we want to get to the other side of the room? I'd go to the other side of the room and get a Bible, but it's all the way over there. Like, that's a pretty genius invention. Now, but that's a lot of glass to clean on the sides. So this guy has figured it out. Take a look at this video. He's a genius window washer. Here we go.
Watch this guy going by.
Nice. That's a job right there. You just stand and do nothing. Now imagine being on a moving walkway and you're going against the flow. You're going against the way it's moving. And it is going just a little faster than you can run. So no matter how fast you run, no matter how hard you try, you're never going to get anywhere. And actually, you'll probably be moving backwards. And this was Jonah in chapter 1. God called him to go to Nineveh. And for those of you that went to Ignite, this is kind of a little cool throwback to Ignite. You remember the map? God called him to go to Nineveh, which was east. God always calls his people to go east for some reason. But what did Jonah do? He went west. He turned his back on God and went towards Tarshish. Remember Tarshish? So he went to Tarshish. Except he didn't make it there because the storm came in the sea and he got thrown overboard, got swallowed by a fish. When God wants to use you, he's going to use you regardless. Because he's sovereign, which means he is bigger and greater and powerfully in control of all things. So when you're trying to run against the direction that he wants to take your life, you're not going to get very far. He's stronger and more powerful than you are. So we don't want to fight against God like Jonah. We don't want to run from him. So what do we do? What do we do when we realize we're in that place and all of a sudden we're on that walkway and we're trying as hard as we can, but we're not getting anywhere? Nothing's happening. We're not growing. What do we do at that point? Well, you turn around and you start going in God's direction, but there's three things I think Jonah chapter 2 tells us that we get from God and God wants for us when we are going in the wrong direction. So turn to Jonah chapter 2 on page 774 in the Black Bibles. And before you get there, here's the big idea. This is the sermon wrapped up in one sentence. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've run, it's never too late to turn back to God. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've run, it's never too late to turn back to God. So Jonah was thrown overboard in this raging sea. He's swallowed up by this giant fish in the stomach of a giant fish. It's not looking too good for Jonah at this point. Let's see what he does. In Jonah chapter 2, he prays to God. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I'm driven from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So there's three things Jonah does here that God wants for us. Every time we blow it and we mess up, this is what we need. Number one, we need honesty. We need to see how we've messed up, call sin sin, know that we've screwed up, and be honest with God. In the Message paraphrase, verse 2 puts it like this: "In trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God. He answered me from the belly of the great. I cried, 'Help! You heard my cry.'" Have you ever cried out to God for help? Now, that's honesty. When you have to admit that you need help and God's the only one that can help you. See, being honest looks like this. In order for you to change, you have to see change as necessary. You have to see it as necessary. You'll never change unless you absolutely, at the pit of your soul, see it as absolutely necessary for your life to change. If you're just kind of okay with it, if you're content, just going with the motions, you will never change your circumstances. You have to see it as necessary, and you have to be honest with God in order to do that. So Jonah cries out to God. For the first time, he actually speaks to God. Chapter 1, Jonah is a prophet of the Lord, okay? And God calls him to go deliver his message to Nineveh. He's got this great plan for Jonah. And never once does Jonah respond to God. He just runs. So Jonah chapter 2 is the first time in the pit of his despair that Jonah actually talks to God. He finally is honest with himself and fesses up and calls out for help. He's been living this kind of hypocritical, dishonest life to God as a man of God, a prophet of God, yet running from God. So honesty brings him back. If you ever messed up and tried to avoid the consequences, that's where Jonah was caught. So for those of you that have a curfew and you can drive and you can kind of be on your own, you might know what it's like to get back a little bit after your curfew and you're trying to sneak into your house so your parents don't hear you and get to your room without them knowing that you're a little late. I'll just tell you, your parents always know anyway, so just don't try it. Avoiding the consequences doesn't work, but you know what it's like. I remember what it was like. You'd stick your key in the front door, and you'd turn the lock really slowly so it doesn't make a loud click, and then you'd open it real slowly, and then you'd shut it. And you know when you shut the door, you have to have the handle turned so the latch isn't sticking out and making that click, you know? So you close it, and you turn the handle, and then I'm just giving you guys ideas, though, now, aren't I? It's probably not a good thing to do. But who knows every creak in their house? You know the creaks in your hallways, and you know how to avoid them like super ninja. You could jump to every little section of the hallway so you can go to your room silently. We know that because we try to avoid consequences of our actions. In college, I avoided the consequences, and it didn't really turn out very well. But I blew it in a class one time. I didn't turn in a paper. I got an email from the professor. She said, "Ryan, I noticed you didn't turn in your paper. Why don't you come to my office today and let's talk?" I didn't want to talk to her about my paper, so I avoided her. I didn't go down the hallway where her office was. When I crossed the campus, I didn't walk through like the main sidewalk that goes through the big main mall of the campus, because that's where most people were, and I didn't want to pass her. When I went into lunch that day, I saw her in the cafeteria, and I said, "I'm going to fast today." And I turned around and I walked out. I didn't go in the cafeteria. I avoided her. And I had class with her the whole rest of the semester. So I was not accomplishing anything trying to avoid her. And we try to avoid God like Jonah all the time. And we don't ever accomplish anything. Is there anything that you're avoiding taking to God? Anything that you're avoiding talking to God about? He wants you to be honest with him and stop ignoring it. It's time to get real. When we mess up, God requires three things in this honesty. And John Gillis from Super Summers put it like this before. Maybe you've heard him say that God wants you to be honest with yourself. We need to be honest with God, and then we need to respond accordingly. We need to be honest with ourselves to not sugarcoat what our relationship with God looks like. To call sin what it is, evil, sin, and recognize it as bad and recognize the ways we've run from God. I mean, if we haven't prayed in weeks or read anything from Scripture in a while, then we've got to be honest and say, my relationship with God's not where it needs to be. In fact, it stinks and I need to change. When was the last time you were honest with yourself? And then be honest with God. Once you realize where you're at, I mean, tell God that, because he knows anyway. Talk to God. Be honest with him. Call out for help like Jonah did. He loves you and cares for you more deeply than you could ever imagine. And that's a person, that's a God that you can trust and you can be honest with. And then number three, respond accordingly. Whatever God asks you to do, whatever, however he's asking you to respond in that moment of honesty with him, that's what you need to do. You need to respond accordingly to God's desire. Get on the walkway with him and move in his direction and stop fighting against it. Being honest is your first step back when you've turned away from God. So then number two is hope. We need to be honest with God, and then God is going to give us hope in the midst of our hopelessness, in the midst of our despair, in the midst of our pain and hurt and suffering and confusion and doubt. So let's talk about hope. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and just with one or two friends around you, here's two questions. What is hope, and why is it important for me to have hope? You answer those two questions just real quickly in 30 seconds right around you as we think about this topic of hope as it relates to the gospel. Ready? What is hope? Go. All right, let's keep trucking. Let's keep going here. So hope, that's what it's all about. The message says in verse 6 and 7, it puts it this way. I like how the message talks through Jonah's prayer. So Eugene Peterson says it this way. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from the grave alive. Oh God, my God, when my life was slipping away, I remembered God. And my prayer got through to you. It made it all the way to your holy temple. When my life was slipping away, when I was as far down as I could get, you remembered me, God. You reached down and picked me up. And I prayed to you, and you heard my prayer. It's almost as if Jonah was surprised that God actually heard his prayer, the way he's writing this. And that's just like us most of the time. We mess up, and sometimes we wonder if God is even there and if he hears our prayers, if he still loves us, if he will forgive us. We beat ourselves up over our bad decisions, our bad actions and choices until we are at a place where there is no hope. And God says, all I want for you is to discover the hope that's in me. Have you ever been there where you are totally empty, where you feel hopeless, where it feels like there is nowhere else to turn, there is nothing else to do, that you don't even know if God is there? It's totally empty in your life. Let's watch this video. Because the tomb was empty, you don't have to be anymore. So whenever you feel empty and you have that hopeless feeling, maybe remember the tomb and remember that empty can be a symbol of hope and not despair, because Jesus has already gone through it and won the victory. Because God is a God of hope. He's a God who hears our prayers, and no matter how far we are, he listens and sends hope. When all hope seemed lost for Jonah, and he was drowning in the sea, God gave him hope. And in verse 4, he says that the Lord snatched him from the jaws of death. God gives hope to the hopeless. Even when we don't deserve it, even before Jonah had turned back to God, even before he'd said a single word of prayer to God or repented to God, God gave him hope while he was drowning in the sea. So think about this. When we normally talk about the giant fish, the Sunday school lessons of Jonah and the whale, okay? I just remember all these images of the whale swallowing Jonah and images of the whale spitting Jonah out on the shore, and they were always a little terrifying. I just like Google image Jonah and the whale and just look at this. I mean, why would you show little kids like these pictures of Jonah? What is that? I've never seen a piranha. What is it? Now, when you think about the fish, it's like, holy cow, what? That is a horrible punishment. I hope God never punishes me like that. And I've always heard of it as the punishment of God. But you know what? According to Jonah, the fish wasn't, God didn't send the fish to punish Jonah. He sent the fish to save Jonah. When he was sinking in the sea, he was going to die in the sea. God sent hope and rescued him. And how did he do that? Through a fish that swallowed him and saved his life. So sometimes when we're going through pain and hurt and emptiness and hopelessness, maybe we should reframe how we're thinking about things, because sometimes the very things that we feel like God is using to hurt us, and is he there and why is this happening, maybe God is sending that not to punish you or harm you or hurt you, but actually to give you a hope and to save you. And maybe it's his rescue plan and not his punishment. So God is a God of second chances. When you least deserve it, he offers you a way back to him. No matter what, God loves you and he'll go to any lengths possible for you. And just look at the cross. He's already done it. He's already gone to every length possible for you. He sent his son to die. He could have done no more for your sin. And then when we sin and mess up, sometimes we think, well, can God forgive me? Yes, because he already has. So what do you put your hope in? We've got to put it in Jesus, because I believe this is true right here. When we place our hope in anything other than Jesus, we are setting ourselves up for consistent disappointment in life. If we run after anything else, if we trust in anything else, if we put our hope in anything else or anyone else other than Jesus Christ, we will constantly be disappointed, frustrated, and feel empty, because he's the only one that gives us hope and fulfillment. So now we've come to this place with Jonah where if we've been honest with God about how we've sinned and messed up, and if we have found the hope that God offers, then what's the response? In our honesty to this hope, the only response is this right here. Number three is repentance. It's the third thing God wants for us when we've messed up. It's the most important thing, but this is where a lot of us stop, because this is where it gets hard, this is where it gets real, and frankly, we kind of like where, I mean, I like my life. I think you like your life. We kind of like how we're living our life, and repentance means change, and change is hard. When we have to give something up that we've gotten used to, that we kind of enjoy, and we kind of just like our sin, and we don't want to mess with it. We don't want God to mess with it. So repentance kind of gets left out of the equation. The other two are fine and good, but do we really want to get rid of our sin enough that we will repent? I was reading up on grass a while back, last week. Anyone just like to read about grass? Any good grass books out there? So I was, the temperature's getting warmer and trying to read up on fertilization and like how to get my grass kind of a jump start to getting green, you know? So I was just reading some blogs and stuff. And I came across an incredible product that is out there that you can order. And it's this right here, lawn paint. Do you know there's such a thing as lawn paint? I mean, I guess I knew it because of like football stadiums and stuff, like paint the grass, but I've never heard of anyone painting their lawn. And not only does it come in many sizes, but many colors too. So would you want your grass anything other than green? So what would you paint? Purple? That was last hour too. Orange grass? That would be kind of cool. So you'd paint your grass brown. I want my grass to look dead. So here's a guy painting his dead grass green. Look at this. Is this amazing? Yeah. He's got some nice grass, man. So what's crazy about this is we've gotten so lazy. We build moving sidewalks so we don't have to walk anywhere. We just get paint so we don't have to do anything to our grass. Yeah. But you know what? The paint isn't going to last forever. It's going to fade off. It's going to grow out. The dead grass is going to still be there. The brown, unhealthy grass is still there. And we can paint over it, but it doesn't change what's really there. It just changes how it looks. And I don't know who would actually do this. We may not do this to our grass. That is ridiculous. I wouldn't do that to my grass. But yet we do it to something infinitely more valuable than our lawn. We do it with our relationship with Christ. When we don't repent, this is what we're doing. We're just not changing anything on the inside, but we're just trying to cover it up on the outside to make it look good. And sure, it may look good for a while, but it doesn't last. And God sees your heart anyway. He sees where you're really at with him. And he's calling you to repentance, to change, to turn directions, go in his direction. It's so much easier when you go in his direction. So instead of fixing the problem, we just cover it up. And Jonah says he's done. He's not covering up any longer. His disobedience and running, it's over. So in verses 7 through 9, the message puts it this way. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, they walk away from their only true love. But I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving. I'll do whatever I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. That's not covering it up. That's repenting. That's turning away from the hollow gods, the God frauds in our life. What hollow gods are you following after? What God frauds are you allowing to come into your life and treat as gods, even though they're fraudulent? They're counterfeit. They're not real. There's only one true God. And when we follow those fraudulent, counterfeit, fake gods of the world, we're leaving behind the one true God, our one true love, Jesus. So who's willing to say with Jonah, I'm worshiping you, God. I'm done. I'm done following that stuff. I'm done turning my back on you. I'm done walking the other way. I am worshiping you. So repentance isn't out of obligation. It's not out of fear or guilt. It's not an emotional feeling. It's simply a decision in your heart to change your behavior based on your belief that God is good and gracious and he loves you. He loves you and he wants better for you. He wants so much better for you. He wants so much better for you, Emily. He wants so much better for you, Lucas. He wants so much better for you, Jason. Guys, he wants so much better for you than what the world and what the sin offers you. And not just for now in your life today, but in forever, because the consequences of your disobedience and the consequences of your obedience both take a long time to unravel for good or bad. And in fact, the consequences of disobedience and sin really never fully unravel until we get to heaven and you're dealing with them forever. So the Bible doesn't talk about the physical consequences of Jonah, and we don't really talk about this in Sunday school, but what's inside a stomach? Yeah. And think of all the time Jonah spent inside of a giant fish's stomach acid. Now, what would that have done to Jonah? I mean, just think about it. I don't know what he came out looking like, but he wasn't the same because that acid messed him up. And he might have been deaf. His skin might have been burned off. I don't know what he looked like, but he lived with that for the rest of his life, I'm pretty sure. And it was a constant reminder of his sin. I mean, our sin just never leaves us, and it turns into living a life of regret, and it's a regret over things you can't change. It's like when you throw a pebble into the water. What happens? The ripples slowly start to form, and they grow, and there's consequences of that little pebble going into the water, and it grows and grows, way, way bigger than just that little pebble was. And you can't take it back. Once you throw the pebble in, and you're like, oh, I should have not done that. You try to jump in after the pebble, what happens? You just make bigger splashes. You get wet. There's a bigger mess. You can never take it back. And I don't say all this to scare you or warn you. I think Jonah would come in here and scare you and warn you because of what he went through. But it's because he would want better for you. And it's because I want better for you than that. And it's because God wants so much better for you than that. And the choices you make will echo and ripple into your future life, into your future marriage, into your future job, into your future parenting, your future schooling, your future joy and fulfillment, your future relationship with Christ, your future purity. It all starts with your decisions today. I could bring in adult after adult after adult because of the stories that I've heard and that are in our church even, and just one after another would come in and say, if I could rewind my life, I'm one of these guys, by the way. If I could rewind my life and go back and change some things, holy cow, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because as I look back, things that I'm dealing with now started when I was with the decisions I made when I was your guys' age and younger even. Things that I'm dealing with now are rooted way back, a long time ago. So you guys are ahead of the game, though. Start following Christ now better. Turn towards him instead of away from him, and it will change your future forever. Living a life of honesty, hope, and repentance. And that's the choice we make every single day. So repentance, here's the choice that we make. At any given moment, you have the choice to move forward into growth or to step backward into safety with God. You really want to grow and change and do great things for God and be closer to him, then we need to take the step forward. And we do that through honesty, through grabbing onto the hope of the gospel, and through repentance. And if we don't do that, then we are starting to move backward away from him into this place that only appears to be safe. Because it's never safe to be outside of God's will. It's a total illusion. Which one are you going to choose? Is it time today to turn around, walk the other way on that walkway, and stop trying to move against God's direction and will for your life? Maybe he's calling you to repent of something, which simply means to turn away from that thing and turn back to God, to change your behavior based on a belief that's in your heart that God is better and greater than that thing or that person. If he is, then let's do business with him right now. As I pray, you just pray too. Whatever's on your heart, he wants to hear from you. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And then respond accordingly as we pray. God, I thank you for Jonah. And as messed up as he was, he got it right here. This prayer is a prayer that we need to pray. As we get honest with you, help us to say with Jonah, God, we need help. We can't do it without you. And we pray that we would grab on to the hope that you have for us and know that you are the only hope of salvation, that you are the only hope of a good life. And we pray that we would have the courage to repent. Help us see whatever those things are in our life that you hate and that we would call them that, and that we would join you in our hatred for sin so that we could walk away from it forever, that we would turn towards you instead of away from you, that we would walk with you instead of against you. God, be with us now as we think about these things this afternoon, as you bring those things up in our life and we choose honesty and hope and repentance with everyone so that you can be our King. In Jesus' name, amen.